Well, good morning, and welcome, everyone, to Coffee with the Coder, Episode 11 for May the 8th, 2017. We're delighted to have you joining us this morning. Hi, Paula.
Good morning, Pam, and everyone else on the line. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, and I've got questions from all over the country, so I can't wait to get started on them. But before we do, let me mention that beginning last episode, we started mugging our listeners. We have this amazing Coffee with the Coder official mug, which you can see on our Facebook page with some of the staff. And all the questions that are answered today, we're putting the names kind of in a hat. And we'll draw out a name and we'll tell you that you're going to win for today's episode. And then our staff will contact you and get your mailing address. And somebody will win one of those cups for today. I'm excited about that.
So, yeah, we're actually mugging people in a good way, Pam.
Absolutely. I know I keep trying to emphasize that we're giving you something. We're not taking anything away. And also, we'd really appreciate your mugshot on our Facebook page in case you want to send a selfie after you get your mug. Some of the staff are putting theirs up over the next few days and weeks. And so that's just kind of fun, a wonderful way to share Coffee with the Coder with all our friends.
Thank you, Pam.
Well, now let me just jump right in, so maybe we'll have time to get to a bunch of them today. This first question is from Florida, from Tabitha, and she's in an IRF. And she says, we have a question in regards to coding attention to gastrostomy when the PEG tube is placed in the rehab visit. Would you code the Z43.1 encounter for attention to gastrostomy or the reason for the PEG tube? I'm under the impression by coding guidelines that on initial insertion, we'd code the reason for the PEG tube, not the attention to. So your clarification would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, so that is correct. And the let me just give you a little bit of background here. The attention to codes are used after the insertion for any type of follow-up care. Typically, the ICD-10 PCS code for the procedure is used for the insertion also, but that PCS code, as you may well know, does not impact the inpatient rehab facility reimbursement, and it's not reported on the IRF-PI. It's only reported on the UD04 claim form. Now, Tabitha, actually, after we corresponded back and forth about your question, I had a little bit more thought about it, and I wanted to just bring it out on today's call just for your consideration. Keep in mind, your encounter in an inpatient rehab facility is more than just that one-day visit where the gastrostomy tube was actually placed. So here's a thought. The initial day the PEG is inserted would, of course, naturally be reported with the reason for the PEG. The patient remains in rehab several days after that, so several more days, and that PEG care is required. I clearly see an argument for reporting the Z43.1, the attention to code, in this setting as defined in the definition that I'm going to share with you for Z43. Realize it did happen during the encounter, so my opinion is that it could be reported. Now, it's very clear, or I need to make very clear to you, that when I don't find clear coding guidelines, or when my team, I should say, I can't take all the credit. This is coming from a team effort here at AQIQ. When we don't find clear guidance, we will clearly tell you that this is our opinion. So the Z43 range is for reporting an artificial opening or ostomy. It's surgically created opening connecting an internal organ to an outside of the body. So everyone knows that's what an ostomy is. The code range, Z43, can be used for any encounters involving the cleaning of the ostomy opening, adjustment or removal of the catheter within the opening, or reforming or closure of the opening. So I would say that Z43.1, if it didn't happen in the last 2 days of admission at the IRF, you could report it, in my opinion, on the claim form and on the IRF-PI. And again, though, for the IRF, it's not going to impact your reimbursement. Pam, do we have another question?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Now, this one's also from IRF. This one's from the other side of the country, from Arizona. And Tiffany says she's working on a case for a patient who was admitted with an abdominal aortic thrombus that caused an embolism of the foot requiring multiple surgeries and eventually led to a below knee amputation. This person was also diagnosed with occipital and cerebellar CBAs while in hospital. So the patient was put in 5.4 IGC for a unilateral BK. What sort of code would I include for the CBA in section 24 of comorbid conditions? The coder listed I63.9 on the initial coding sheet. Is that the correct kind of a code, or should I ask for a sequela code to this code? The I63.9 code caused the case to tear. So the final coding sheet listed I69.398, but I think this code is more representative of deficits related to the CBA. Am I correct?
Okay, so yes, and who was this, Pam, that issued the question?
This was Tiffany in Arizona.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Tiffany. If you are saying, so I want to be very clear here, and this would be because when you are reporting CVAs that are comorbidities of the reason for admission, let me back up here. Most of the time, and I know we have many coders on the line, so the coders may not know what an impairment group is. And the impairment group is used in the IRF setting and is typically assigned by the IRF staff, but it goes along with the diagnoses for the reason for the encounter. But it's really irrelevant to this question. The question really was about how do we report that comorbidity of the CVA. In this case, what you need to be very clearly aware of, and I, in reading and hearing Pam state the question, it wasn't clear to me if the CVA actually happened in the IRF setting, so after the patient was admitted to the IRF, or did it happen in the acute hospital setting before they came to the IRF? So that's the differentiation on what codes would be reported. If it happened when the patient came into the IRF and, you know, after they were admitted or on the day of admission, then, of course, that I63.9 code would be appropriate because it did happen during this encounter with a new acute stroke. If it happened in the previous hospital setting before the patient came to inpatient rehab, both on the IRF-PI and on the UB04 claim form, you would report the same for this particular situation since it is a comorbidity. But in that case, the I69 range of codes would be reported for all the residuals associated with that CVA that are documented.
Thank you. I think we can squeeze in one more, okay?
Okay,
I've got this question. This is not from an IRF setting, and this is Ida in Georgia. Can you please help find an answer regarding the CPT code 23550 and 23552? So both are the same procedure except that one is with a facial graft, including obtaining graft. So we've had the procedure done except they used an allograft and they didn't harvest one. So we're not really sure which code to put for this procedure. We don't want to use an unlisted one.
Okay, thank you, Ida. And, yeah, I do know. I'll tell you, I know Ida personally. So, Ida, thank you for your question. And she is calling from a hospital setting. And whereas this would actually, in this case, the reporting would be the same for a hospital outpatient setting or a physician office setting if the physician were the one performing the surgical procedure. And this is a CPT question, of course, and she's just trying to get some distinguishing information related to the 23550 versus the 23552. And the 23552 says with fascial graft, including obtaining the graft. Now, just to clarify for those of you on the line, what Ida has indicated is that the physician did not obtain a graft from the patient. He did not have an autograft situation, so he didn't go on one part of the patient, take a piece of tissue, and put it onto another part of the same patient. An allograft, as described, that was performed by the physician, is actually a tissue graft that comes from a donor of the same species. So it could be a cadaver graft, you know, a graft that came from a cadaver, but it's not from the same person. So the physician did not actually have to do the work of harvesting the graft himself. So there are some rare circumstances, and I'm saying extremely rare circumstances, where there is extensive work to prepare that allograft, and in which case you could modify that CPT code that is reported. But what we did is we went out and did a little bit of research. We looked at some of the societies related to reporting these two conditions. There wasn't much out there from the AMA. So, you know, the bottom line is the way that we are allowed to interpret the CPT code set, many of the societies out there have indicated, and what we believe it's the same as what they're indicating, so our opinion is the same, I guess I would say, that anytime a procedure says, the CPT code says, includes obtaining graft, if that graft is not obtained, then you would report the code without graft. So our research reflects that the procedure is reported with the 23550, which indicates without graft, as the work of obtaining the graft was not performed, and the use of the allograft is not separately reported. So in those rare cases where there is extensive work to prepare that allograft, you may also append modifier 22. So thank you so much for your question. And Pam, I know that we're bumping up against our 10-minute time frame here just because we want to make sure that everyone you know, gets back to their work. So do we have time to go ahead and pull that drawing just to let everyone know who won?
Thank you, thank you. I have put all the names in my hat, and I've been shaking it around while you've been talking, and so I'm pulling one out, and I will tell you that today's winner is Tabitha. So Tabitha from Florida, we'll be contacting you to find out how to get this mug to you, and we'd really love to have your mugshot on our Facebook page. So thanks a bunch of everyone for joining us today. Our next episode, episode 12, will be in 2 weeks on May the 22nd at 10:10 Eastern. Thank you for joining.
And please send in your questions.
Yes.